Welcome to worship with Dawson Memorial Baptist Church. At Dawson, we seek to be found faithful as God's people as we become and help others become faithful servants of Jesus Christ. Now join us as we worship God through the teaching of His Word in today's message.
Good morning, church. What a joy it is to be together and worship today. If you have your copy of God's Word this morning, if you would turn to Acts chapter 19. As we continue our series through the book of Acts this morning. Pastor David is away this morning. He is preaching at one of the churches where he formerly served as pastor. That church is celebrating their 175th anniversary. That church was established in 1849. So we want to be praying for him this morning, and I invite you to pray for me also. On mornings like this, I'm really grateful for Pastor David. Really grateful for him. And a couple of things here at the beginning. I don't think Nolan's made his way back in here yet, but I owe an apology to Nolan. I called him Noah, I think twice. I got it right one time and then called him Noah. Bad news is I did the same thing in the 9:45 service. We had two brothers. One was Brady, one was Bo. When Bo got in there to be baptized, I called him Brady one time. So, hey, we're all finite. Also, one other thing. We have a guest with us, Dr. Robert Smith. Dr. Smith, we're so grateful you're here. I don't know that I'm grateful you're here. Of all the Sundays, Dr. Smith, that you could come to hear somebody preach at Dawson, you chose this one. So I'm going to preach, and Dr. Smith's here. I would rather invite him up to preach. You've heard this, church. This is not news to you, that we grow through adversity. We grow through adversity. We grow when we are outside of our comfort zone. We are stretched and we mature when we're outside of our comfort zone. This is a scriptural principle. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 3 says, "A crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, and the Lord tests hearts." So just as metal is refined through fire, we are refined through trials and adversity. And then James in the New Testament in chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." The testing of our faith leads us to boldness and maturity in Christ. Through the test, through adversity and the testing of our faith, we grow deeper in our faith. We grow in maturity in our faith. When I was a college student at Samford University, I spent two summers working for an outdoor adventure camp in North Georgia. It was called Toccoa Wilderness Ministries. And our mission as a camp was to use outdoor adventure and biblical teaching to get middle school and high school students out of their comfort zone so that they could grow in their faith, so that they could grow as young men and young women. And early on my days, in my time here on staff at Dawson, we took a group of college students to a retreat there in North Georgia at Toccoa Wilderness Ministries. And Miley and I, my wife, we were newly married at the time. She goes on the retreat with us, and we were over a weekend, and we did several outdoor adventure activities. And one of the things we did was rock climbing. And we're in this beautiful place rock climbing. It's actually just across the border from North Georgia. It's over in eastern Tennessee. And it's a rock wall. It's a popular climbing spot. Overlooks the Hiawassee River. And we got the opportunity to climb. The college students were definitely climbing. And Miley and I got to climb as well, which was a big step for Miley because she's not big on heights. And so the rock wall that we were climbing was about 100 feet tall. And she's about 75 feet up. I mean, she's doing really, really good. But then she realized she's 75 feet in the air, clinging to a rock wall with a harness and rope and somebody belaying her. And fear sets in. There may have been some tears. I don't remember all of the details of the story. But she realized she was high. Fear sets in. You can see her arms shaking. Her legs are shaking. Everybody's encouraging her. The college students were encouraging her. The staff from Toccoa Wilderness Ministries was encouraging her. And I decided that was a good opportunity for me to encourage her with something like this. "Babe, you're doing so good. You're almost there. Remember, we grow when we're stretched out of our comfort zone." There's a lot of other things I could have said to offer words of encouragement. But the good news is our marriage also grew through adversity during that time. But it's true, we grow through adversity and we grow through trials. And a theme that we see throughout the book of Acts is that the gospel spreads and the church thrives when there's persecution. And the church thrives when there's opposition. That through adversity, the church experiences growth, both in depth and in width. Many people are coming to Jesus, and that's the reason for the opposition. Those who oppose the message of the gospel don't like what's taking place throughout these cities as Paul is on his missionary journeys with the other apostles. And so they arrive in Ephesus, and God's already done much work in Ephesus before Paul arrives. Aquila and Priscilla had laid gospel foundations. They'd helped Apollos grow. He helped lay the groundwork for the gospel in Ephesus. And now Paul arrives and God continues this great work in Ephesus in the face of persecution. Ephesus is in the province of Asia, and Luke, when Luke focuses on Asia, he really just focuses on this one city in Ephesus, because it was a main city. It was a central hub there in the province of Asia in the Roman Empire, and it was known for the temple of Artemis, the goddess of fertility, and her temple, which was one of the seven ancient wonders of the world. Ephesus was also known as a center for magical practices. And so the heart of what we see in chapter 19 is Paul's faithful proclamation of the word of God, the honor that belongs to the name of Jesus, in contrast to the various distortions and confusions of the message of Jesus. And so let's look at Acts chapter 19. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. And it happened that while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. And there he found some disciples. And he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" They said, "Into John's baptism." And Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him. That is Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all. And he entered the synagogue and for 3 months spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way before the congregation, he withdrew from them and took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. This continued for 2 years so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. So the first thing that we see here in Acts chapter 19 is that when the word of God prevails, there will be two results. There will be progress for the gospel, and there will be opposition from Satan. That's exactly what we've seen throughout the book of Acts, and it's no different here in the city of Ephesus. In verse 10, it says, "This continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks." As the message of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus is spreading throughout cities, coming now to Ephesus, the word of the Lord is spreading, and there is opposition at every turn. Because there's the word of God prevails, there's progress for the gospel, and there's opposition from Satan. And Paul, here in Ephesus, he is focused on continuing to preach and to teach the word of God because he knows that's the only way that lives will be transformed. He knows that's the only way the church will grow. And so in the face of the persecution and the opposition, Paul is preaching. He is preaching the word boldly, he's correcting false teaching, and he is overcoming the opposition. And so we see this pattern right here in verses 1 through 9. Paul shares the full gospel with these disciples. So as the word of the Lord is spreading, it's made it to Ephesus, but maybe the full message about Jesus has not made it to all of Ephesus. And so Paul finds these disciples who only knew the baptism of John. And he shares the gospel with them. And what happens? They believe. And they are baptized in the name of Jesus. And they receive the Holy Spirit. And so there's progress for the gospel beginning with these 12 in Ephesus, continuing to lay the groundwork for the gospel there. They believe. And then what happens? Opposition happens. These lives are changed. There's progress for the gospel. Paul is boldly preaching and teaching in the synagogue. And after 3 months, opposition comes. Look at what verse 9 says. "But when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way before the congregation, he withdrew from them and took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. This continued for 2 years so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks." There's progress for the gospel, and now some become stubborn and continue in their unbelief, and they begin speaking evil of the way. The way is the good news of salvation in Christ alone, by faith alone, through grace alone. Paul is preaching this message. He is teaching this message. The apostles are preaching. It is spreading. And now those who don't like this way and all those who are trusting Jesus as Lord and Savior and being baptized in the name of Jesus and receiving the Holy Spirit, there's opposition. And what is Paul's response to this opposition? Change locations, continue to preach. Change locations, continue to preach and teach the word of the Lord, and it tells us for 2 more years, the word of the Lord spreads. And then we get to verse 12 in Acts chapter 19, and verse 12 through verse 20 are an interesting story here in the book of Acts. God is doing miraculous things through Paul. He's saving people. People are trusting Jesus as Lord and Savior, but also Paul is doing miracles. He's casting out demons. He's healing the sick. And so there's some in Ephesus who think, well, if we just call on the name of Jesus as Paul does, we can have this power. They don't believe in the name of Jesus. They just want to use the name of Jesus. And so these 7 sons of Sceva, who Sceva was a high priest, his 7 sons, they decide they're going to try to cast out an evil spirit from a man using the name of Jesus. And when they try to weaponize the name of Jesus, it backfires on them. He tries to cast out the demon in the name of Jesus, and the demon says, I know Jesus, and I recognize Paul, but who are you? And then the man who had the evil spirit in him turns on these 7 sons of Sceva and beats them and says they ran away naked and wounded. They tried to weaponize the name of Jesus, and it explodes in their hand. Because the name of Jesus is not to be used. The name of Jesus is to be believed. The name of Jesus is to be exalted. And that's exactly what happens. The result of this story is this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, and the name of the Lord was extolled. The name of the Lord was exalted because of the power of the name of Jesus. So the word of the Lord continues to grow in the face of this opposition. And it says in verse 18 that many of those who believed confessed their sinful practices. They burned all of their magic books. And then verse 20 says, so the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. The word of God prevails. Lives are changed by the grace of God. The church grows, and Satan continues to find ways to oppose the word of God. In Ephesus, this opposition and this persecution, it took several shapes, but one of the way that it was shaped was just verbal slander. Those began to speak evil of the way in the synagogue. Other was a false religious materialism. The gospel was affecting their business and financial gain in Ephesus. Those who burned their magic books, it says that that amounted to about 50,000 pieces of silver worth of magic books. It's costing them money. It's creating an economic problem for them in Ephesus. Now, church, we need to pause for just a minute, because here in Alabama, in the southeastern United States, it is really difficult for us to comprehend persecution, really persecution of any kind. It's rare that that verbal slander occurs because of the gospel. It's especially rare that, as we're going to see later on in chapter 19, that a riot would break out because of the gospel. But we have mission partners, and you know this. We talk about this. We have mission partners around the world who are in countries whose name we don't even use. We don't say the name of the country because of the persecution that takes place there. Because the word of God is prevailing, there's progress for the gospel in those countries, and so believers and missionaries are being persecuted. We have mission partners who have had their houses searched by local authorities because of the progress of the gospel, because their suspected Christian mission work. They've had to leave that country and now go to a different country because of the persecution that takes place. So this is a reality for them. And if you do just a quick search on the internet, you go to the Voice of Martyrs, you can read about persecution around the world, and you can search it by region. So I'm just going to give you one example in the far western part of Ethiopia. Bible-believing, gospel-proclaiming churches are being burned in the western part of Ethiopia by extremist groups. They'll go in one town and they'll burn a church. Then they'll move on a little bit further and they'll burn another church. They'll move on a little bit further and they'll burn another church. And do you know what the response of the Christians and the missionaries in those areas is? Of course they want safety. But do you know what their prayer is? They say, pray that we would stand firm in the faith, that we would continue to preach the gospel with boldness. as Paul does, change locations, continue to preach the word. Change locations, continue to preach the word with boldness. Church, may we stand with and may we pray with the persecuted church around the world. It is a reality for them that is difficult for us to comprehend. The second thing we see in Acts chapter 19, we saw that when the word of God prevails, there's progress for the gospel, there's persecution from Satan. The second thing we see is that the Holy Spirit is the fuel for the progress of the gospel. The Holy Spirit is the fuel for the progress of the gospel. Look at verses 21 and 22 with me. Now, after these events, Paul resolved in the Spirit to pass through Macedonia and Achaia and to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I've been there, I must also see Rome. And having sent into Macedonia two of his helpers, Timothy and Erastus, he himself stayed in Asia for a while. So as the word of the Lord is established, the word of God prevails and increases mightily, and many lives are changed, Paul is resolved in the Spirit. He was always working on plans. He was working on his next strategy to expand the reach of the gospel. But he only makes his plans in alignment with the power of the Holy Spirit. There are times throughout Acts where we see the Holy Spirit leading him to certain locations, and there are times in the book of Acts where we see the Holy Spirit hindering Paul and the apostles from going to certain locations. Two quick illustrations. You can turn there with me if you want to in Acts chapter 13. Two quick examples. Acts chapter 13. This is Barnabas and Saul. Verse 4 says, so being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. They're sent out by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is leading them to Seleucia and then to Cyprus. And then three chapters later in Acts chapter 16 says, and when they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Church, do you catch that? In Acts chapter 16, verse 6 and 7, Paul and the apostles are forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Where are we in chapter 19? The word of God is in Asia. The word of God is prevailing mightily in Asia, but only through the fuel of the Holy Spirit, only through the leadership of the Holy Spirit. So Paul's making plans and he's making strategy and the apostles are working with him and they're spreading the word of the Lord wherever they go, but the Holy Spirit leads them and guides them each step of the way. So in Acts chapter 16, they're forbidden to go to Asia. And now in Acts chapter 19, we are in Asia. These verses, verse 21 and 22 in Acts chapter 19, serve as kind of a break in the book of Acts. From here on, Paul says it. He says, I'm going to Jerusalem, and then from there, I must see Rome. His goal is Rome. And he finally gets there, but he doesn't get there in the way that he expected. And so here, he sends Timothy and Erastus ahead of him into Macedonia to get things ready for his arrival. But he stays in Ephesus. He's resolved in the Spirit to go, but it tells us that he himself stayed in Ephesus. So why does Paul, resolved in the Spirit, why does he stay in Ephesus? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 5 through 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 5 through 10. Why does Paul stay in Ephesus? He's writing to the church in Corinth, and he says, I will visit you after passing through Macedonia, for I intend to pass through Macedonia, and perhaps will stay with you or even spend the winter there, so that you may help me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not want to see you now just in passing. I hope to spend time with you if the Lord permits. But I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. When Timothy comes, see that you put him at ease among you, for he is doing the work of the Lord as I am. So Paul stays in Ephesus, and look at what he prays. He says, church in Corinth, I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits. Church, do we pray that way? When you pray and you are seeking God and you're asking him plans that you should make, is your question, if the Lord permits? God, where are you leading me? God holds each one of he holds our every day in the palms of his hands. He holds our days. Do we trust him with our days? Do we pray, if the Lord permits, I will go and do this? If the Lord permits, I will go and do that. Praying in alignment with the Holy Spirit. So Paul knows there's more work to be done in Ephesus. He tells us right here, a wide door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. And boy, was he right. Look at verse 23. God's not done with Paul in Ephesus. So Paul stays here and he says, there's many adversaries. Verse 23, about that time there arose no little disturbance concerning the way. There's already been opposition in Ephesus, and now there's no little disturbance concerning the way. The way, the message, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is causing problems in Ephesus to the point that a riot breaks out. And the issue that gave rise to this riot is the loss of business to the silversmiths there in Ephesus. They made statues of the goddess Artemis. They made statues of her temple. And the way they made their living was to sell these statues. And Paul has been going from city to city and town to town and proclaiming the good news of the gospel. And remember in Athens, he says, gods made by human hands are not gods. We don't read about what Paul preaches here in Ephesus, but I have a feeling if this city is full of idolatry, Paul is teaching the same thing. That, hey, these gods, these idols that you have, these are not gods. And so the silversmiths fear that they will lose even more business because of what Paul is preaching. And so this riot starts. There's this mob mentality. And they all come together in this theater that holds 24,000 people. Paul wants to go in there. Why? Because Paul is bold and he wants to go in there and contend for the sake of the gospel. But his friends are like, Paul, you can't go in there. But two of his companions, Gaius and Aristarchus, are dragged into the crowd. There's confusion in this crowd. It says some of them don't even know why they're gathered there. But they are chanting their allegiance to Artemis, the goddess, for 2 hours. And they've got Gaius and Aristarchus in there trying to convict them. They've got them standing some sort of trial until this city clerk or mayor finally manages to calm the crowd. And he highlights the seriousness of what they're doing. They're falsely accusing Gaius and Aristarchus. They're not using the court system and proper legal channels. They're going to potentially upset the Roman authorities by causing this disruption. This riot was an attack on the cause of the gospel. The gospel is causing an economic problem in Ephesus, and they do not like it. They're losing business, they're losing revenue, but the word of God is prevailing, and because there's progress for the gospel, there's opposition from Satan. And right here, it takes the form of a riot. As the gospel spreads through Ephesus and Asia Minor, there is great opposition. The word of God's prevailing, the Holy Spirit is the fuel for the progress of the gospel. God remains in control. He's sovereign. These are desperate moments for the way of Christianity. And the results in this case are wonderful. The cause of the gospel is vindicated. Demetrius and his circle of silversmith friends, they lose their perceived power. And in this case, nobody suffers harm. It's a reminder to us that God can use strange economic and political pressures, including in this case, a pagan silversmith and a city clerk, to bring about his good purposes. And the same is true today. God remains in control. The word of the Lord prevails. There's progress for the gospel. There's opposition for Satan. The Holy Spirit is the fuel for the progress of the gospel. And so what does this look like and what does this mean for us at Dawson in 2024? Well, we say here at Dawson, it's up there above the baptistry, that our vision is to be found faithful as God's people. So if that's our vision, then what does faithfulness look like? Well, one of the things that faithfulness looks like that we have outlined in our theological vision is that the word of God is our authority. What does faithfulness look like? The word of God is our authority. We are committed to evaluate and execute every ministry of our church through the lens of Scripture. We are committed to this as a church, and we must be committed to this as individuals, that God's word is primary in all that we do. God's word is our authority. The second tenet in our theological vision is prayer is our priority. So the word of God prevails, prayer is our priority. We are wholly dependent upon God because apart from him, we can do nothing. We are committed to discern God's vision for our church family, to align all our activities and ministries to his will through personal prayer and corporate prayer. So as Paul was resolved in the Spirit, as Paul aligned everything he did through the leadership and the fuel of the Holy Spirit, we are to be obedient to the Spirit. And the way that we are obedient to the Holy Spirit is we discern God's word and we pray and we seek where he is leading us. So the call of Acts chapter 19, church, is a call to the foundation of God's word. That God's word is our authority. It's a call to the foundation of prayer, seeking where the Holy Spirit is leading us. But if we're honest, sometimes we fail to understand what God might be doing around us. and what he is doing around us and what he could be doing far beyond this moment in time, but he's always at work. When we can't see it, maybe in the midst of a riot in Ephesus, Paul and his friends are thinking, God, what are you doing? What are we to do with this? But they see the progress for the gospel. Even when they can't see it, they trust that God is at work for his glory and for our good. I remember being on a mission trip in 2010 to the country of Haiti. You might remember there was a catastrophic earthquake early in that year, and I was with the mission team, and later on in that year in October, just a few months after that had happened. And we had a medical team, and we had a dental team, and we had a construction team, and we're working kind of out on the outskirts of Port-au-Prince, that major city there, and we had about an hour drive to and from our job site. And so we would drive there an hour, we would work all day, and we would drive back an hour. And I remember one evening we're praying together and debriefing the day, and one of the men on our team said that as we were making that drive to and from the job site, he was praying and just reflecting on the day, and he said he began to ask God, God, what are you up to here in Haiti? He said as the day went on and he reflected on that question, he sensed God saying to him, hey, Alan, that's not your business. That's my business. Your business is to be found faithful. Your business is to be faithful to the work that you're called here to do. Your business is to be faithful to the Word of God. Your business is to be faithful in prayer and faithfully obedient to the Holy Spirit, no matter the circumstances that arise around us. Church, that's our call today, that we as a church be faithful to God's Word, be faithful to his leading through his Holy Spirit in each and everything that we do. And so the question for us is, are we as his people, are we being faithful to his word? And are we as his people being obedient to the Holy Spirit?
Thank you for joining us today. To learn more about our family of faith or to learn how to become a follower of Jesus, please visit dawsonchurch.org. Until next time, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.